We've been discussing the song that the night sings. Lahagid babaker chastecho, the emunoscho balelos, relating your kindness in the morning and your faithfulness in the night. And I saw a fascinating idea from the Machzor Vitri. Rashi writes that at night, in fact, the last thing we say, apart from Hamapil, is Biyodoi Afkid Ruchi. You're asking Hashem to take your neshama, you entrust your soul into his hands when you go to sleep, or before you go to sleep, trusting him because you know that in the morning it will be returned to you. And he explains that it's actually quite amazing that when you wake up in the morning, yes, there's the initial, oh, I can't be bothered to get out of bed type thing, but actually, are you really as tired as you were when you crawled into bed the previous night? The exertions of the previous day, yeah, there might be a few stiff muscles here and there, but you're invigorated, refreshed, re-energized. Chadoshim labakorim, he quotes, it's new for the mornings, that reinvigoration. The night tells you this idea, and in fact pushes this idea of trustworthiness further one degree, telling us that God gives you everything that you need and more. And I was thinking, because we started talking about the motif of Golus and Geula, exile and redemption, that this actually makes sense in the context of nights, that we know Imo Anochi Betzara, God is with us in exile. And we've already referred to, and it sounds so cliched, but it's so beautiful, the story of the footprints, which we alluded to the other day and probably half a dozen other times as well, that when this man in his dream sees one set of footprints and he says, God, why did you abandon me at the times of my life that was so hard? Because he only sees one set of footprints, and God says, no, those were the times that I was carrying you. It occurred to me that actually, when one carries one's child, not only is one helping and supporting, but that's when they are closest. But when you think that they're further, that's actually when they're closest. And it's quite an amazing thing, because we are about to embark into the saddest time period of the year, the 3 weeks. It should be, as we've said previously, Zaman Matan Torasenu, with the acronym Zayin Mem Tov. But unfortunately, it's Tammuz Tov Mem Zayin. Interestingly enough, as those of you who know your Nach, and we alluded to this once, is also the name of a particular idol called the Tammuz, a particularly nasty one, actually. And it's not an accident that it's turned from a Zaman Matan Torasenu into a Tammuz. It's the longest days of the year. The day is meant to represent clarity. It's meant to represent redemption. The longest days. But if those days are sad, then they feel very, very long, because they're the saddest days of the year. But it shouldn't be that way. It was meant to be the culmination of Matan Torah, which started... You could say it started Shavuos time, but actually it started really with the Sfiras HaOmer. But on Shavuos of Tammuz, which will just be tomorrow, that's when those days of happiness were shattered along with the Luchos. Now that's an amazing correlation, an amazing parallel with Sfiras HaOmer itself. Because if you think about it, Sfiras HaOmer, the beginning of the process which led to Matan Torah, is also meant to be a really happy day where you look forward. And it's true that whilst we have a Lag BaOmer and onwards, and it's all, you know, different minhagim as to when we stop the mourning period, but we know there was also a shattering during that time. Rabbi Akiva's students, 24,000 of Rabbi Akiva's students, died during that time period, a time period which was meant to be the lead up to Matan Torah. Rabbi Akiva, who is the basically the paradigm of Torah Shebaal Peh, as we said many times before. So close, so close, yet so far, like the Egel itself. And there is an amazing Ma'amar Chazal. Chazal tell us a great insight into human psychology. They say, Lo yavdu b'nei Yisrael avodah zarah. The Jewish people, the only reason they served avodah zarah in the first place is Elo lahatir lahem aroyos, to allow themselves to engage in inappropriate behavior, shall we say, in immorality. The idea behind that, and perhaps another time we'll just say this in more detail, is that avodah zarah, as we alluded to a few times during the Omer, is a serving of the self. It's a self-interest. If I don't have to believe in an omnipotent being and I can believe in gods which I can kind of control and manipulate and please them, then I've got a way through to be able to do the things that I want to do. And that is why they would serve avodah zarah, because then that allowed them, gave them an excuse. But how amazing is that? I mean, not amazing, it's the opposite of amazing, but how incredible is that? That if you actually consider, that is what happened in the end of last week's Sedra, the beginning of this week's Sedra. How is it that what's going on with that whole business? Bilam fails with regards to cursing the Jewish people. Just his parting shot, as he says to Sister Bolle, you want to get at them? Their God hates immorality. Try and get the girls to seduce the Jewish men, and then you've got a foot in the door. Then you'll manage. And sure enough, they managed through a combination of Gilui HaRoyos. They managed to get them to bow down to Baal Peor. Baal Peor, which is this very debasing avodah zarah, one where to relieve oneself in front of that avodah zarah, because that was the idea, to debase oneself totally, because I am just giving myself over totally to you in the most physical way possible. But that allowed them access to the Benois Moav. That's avodah zarah, and avodah zarah literally means strange or foreign service. That doesn't mean that you're working as an ambassador or a diplomat in another country. It means the real avodah, which is to Hashem, you've turned your back on it and you're doing the exact opposite. You are expressing its opposite. Now, this is amazing, or as I said, not amazing, but see, because now you'll see that this is the exact opposite of what Perek Shira is about. Perek Shira is nature expressing God's mastery in the world. This is God, how God runs the world. And avodah zarah expresses the exact opposite. This also explains how it is you talk about Avraham Avinu having 400 chapters of Masechta avodah zarah. How did he manage that? What's there so much to speak about? Because when they lived at a time where it was, you could look at nature and understand everything about it, and how things would be spoken out, avodah zarah took them the other way. That is Perek Shira, and its opposite avodah zarah. It is also Yom and Laila, day and night. Perek Shira, although obviously we're speaking from the night's point of view, but it's clarity and the lack of clarity. And it took a Pinchas who did the opposite of the self-interest of avodah zarah. He came from, and as the people actually accused him of being a scion of people who used to serve avodah zarah, and he put his own life on the line against the self-interest of whatever it was that Zimri was trying to show, and he stops the Magepha in its tracks. And how did he do it? The end of last week's Sedra tells us that when he saw what Zimri and Cosby were up to, Vayikach Roimach biyodo, he took a spear in his hand. Roimach is 248, the 248 limbs of the body of positive action, 248 positive mitzvos, the letters of mochar, tomorrow. By acting with no self-interest whatsoever, he gave the Jewish people a tomorrow and stopped the plague dead.